Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see everyone here. Thank you for the kind gift and words for my birthday. And I don't feel any older, but they are coming around faster and faster. Some of you understand those. Hey, I'm thankful they keep coming around. But anyway, I appreciate that today. And we're thankful for what God is doing. And we're going to have one baptized at the conclusion of our service today. We're excited about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. If you're our guest, thank you for coming today. We're so glad that you're here. And we call you guest. You know, visitors, they come and they leave. But guest, we just kind of want you to stay, and we want you to make this your home. And before long, you won't be a guest anymore. You'll just be a regular here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." And he begins to go down through his sons and tell them the future, tell them the blessings upon their life. And we're not going to read all of these, but if you would skip down to verse 22, he said, "Joseph is a fruitful bough." He's fruitful, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. He's a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. I want to talk to us about a well, a wall, and a vine. A well, a wall, and a vine. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we feel in this house, for your holy presence, for your glory that has filled this place. What a blessing it is, God, to have your touch upon us. I pray, Lord, that you would minister in this house right now. I pray that you would touch every person and every need and every situation. And God, I pray that you would send us forth from this place as we answer the call, Lord, to go forth. Lord, here am I. Send me. Let your will be done through us and in this city. We give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the book of Acts, church, the apostles were described as those who had turned their world upside down. They turned it upside down. Their impact, their apostolic authority, the demonstration of God's supernatural power working through them, it made such a difference that it completely transformed their world. Whole cities were changed at a time. Governments were impacted. No doubt the welfare of nations was affected, all through the power of the apostolic church. And today, I believe that we all believe that the church is supposed to impact our world. I've just been raised believing that when we truly do what we have been called to do as the church of the apostles in this latter day, that the church will turn the world upside down. I believe it's going to happen. I believe we are going to see whole cities saved at a time. I believe we're going to see whole churches come into truth at a time. I believe we're going to see the evil darkness of this world defeated in the last days because people come into apostolic authority and power. And I believe that God is going to use us to turn our world upside down. I think we all agree with that. I think we're on board and we believe that today. But there's something very important for us to remember. Turning the world upside down doesn't just happen. It doesn't take place just by accident. It doesn't happen by chance. We can't do it with any strength that we have inside of us. And we don't have the power to make it happen ourselves. But here's the only way we're going to turn our world upside down. We first must be turned inside out. There has to be a change inside of us. There has to be a power inside of us. There has to be a moving of the Spirit inside each and every one of us. We've got to be full of the fire of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, working from the inside out. Hallelujah. Before we can ever expect to see what happened in the book of Acts, church, we can't be complacent and expect to change our world. We can't be disconnected from the Spirit and think we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders. We can't be half-hearted Christians and seek to turn the world upside down. But if we want to make a difference in our world through the power of God, then we must be turned inside out to become everything that God wants us to be, to be on fire for Him like we've never been before. I'm preaching to a generation. I believe you young people are going to see it in full. I believe you're going to see the power of God moving and working in these last days. I believe some of you elders are going to see it. What you've dreamed about and what you prayed about and what you've asked God for, it's about to come to pass. But there needs to be a moving on us in this place in the first place. We've got to be turned inside out. We've got to be burdened with the lost. We've got to be on fire with the Holy Ghost. There needs to be a fire of revival burning in us so that we are turned inside out. And I believe that this church has that desire. There is a passion. There is a burden for revival. There's a sincere hunger in our lives for the supernatural things of God. And I believe that's growing. I believe we're of one mind and we're in one accord. And I believe there's a growing dimension of praise and of worship and of unity and a commitment to the things of God. It's happening. It's exciting to see, and we're getting there, and oh, what God is doing. And there's a freedom in the Spirit, and there's liberty to worship Him, and there's unity in the faith, and there's a growing movement of prayer, and visitors are coming, and thankfully God is moving, and people are receiving the Holy Ghost, and our attendance is increasing, and God is providing for the financial needs of the church. And I want to tell you, the mission that God has given us, it is in motion. Thank God for that. Lives are being changed and hearts are being prepared for what God is wanting to do. You see, this church is a well of blessing. Oh, it's a well of blessing, a well of refreshing. It is a center for the healing of the hurting. It's a place of hope for those who are discouraged. The church is a well of supernatural power of God. Jesus was visiting with the woman at the well, and he said in John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You ever get thirsty? I'm going to tell you what, when you're thirsty, now, I like to drink milk at times. I like root beer every once in a while. Dr. Pepper, that's good. Sweet tea. All Sister McCoy has to do is she just kind of puts her finger in and it just makes it so sweet. Gets too sweet. I'm like, honey, no. But when you're really thirsty, there's nothing like a big old glass of water. Oh, what a refreshing. It's just wonderful. It quenches your thirst, and your body's been craving that. But you just give it a little time, and you're going to get thirsty again. But Jesus said, with this water that I shall give you, it'll be a well inside of you springing up into everlasting life. I want to tell you, you go to the greatest spring here on this earth. It cannot compare to the spring of the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of us. I want to tell you, we are so blessed because you will never thirst again when you have this well of water inside of you. It brings rejoicing, it brings refreshing, it brings the power of God. Oh, what a blessing to be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come on, are you thankful for the well of living water that God has given you? Are you thankful for the blessings of God that have been poured out upon this church? Oh, I thank God for this well of everlasting life, this well of blessing, this well of healing, this well of safety. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, this church is a well. It is a place of refreshing. It is a place of healing for our families and for all who come here. It's a place we find salvation and we find the answers to life's question. This church is a well. We develop our relationship with the Lord here. It's a place of miracles and of signs and wonders. This place is, Harvest is truly a place. It's a well of blessings from God. This church has seen several miraculous works of healing recently, and I'm so thankful for it. It's so exciting to see. It's not always exciting when you're going through it, Brother Bowling. But oh, I want to tell you, it's exciting to see when God works and provides a miracle for His children. This is a well, a miraculous place. This is a place of healing. This is a place of victory. This is a place of breakthrough. It's a well that God has given us. There's been great breakthroughs in some of our services, and children and young people and adults are on fire for the Lord, and people are being blessed financially. Thank God for that. Amen. We've also just come through a great summer revival, and it's launching us into the next season of harvest. And it's a great time to be a part of God's work. We are so blessed to experience all God is doing. This place is a well of the blessings of God. We were visiting with a man yesterday, and he was talking. He was not from Springfield, but he was talking about Springfield, and he said, "I hear there's." He learned that we were pastor and here, and he said, "I hear there's a lot of churches in Springfield." I said, "Oh yes, there is." And he wanted to know about our church and kind of, you know, tell him a little about it. And he said, I heard that there's something special about Springfield, that there's just like a spiritual connection there. And I said, oh, there is. I want to say, when you come to our church, I was building it up because I'm ready for him to come. And I said, and it's true, though, when you come in the service here at Harvest, there is an anointing of God. There's a liberty of praise and worship. There's a divine connection. I want to tell you, it is a well of blessings. Not every church is like that. Amen. We are so blessed to experience all that God is doing. And when you have a precious well like that, when you have something that is so valuable, we build walls to protect what we're blessed with. I'm thankful for the protection of the church. I'm thankful for the guardrails that protect us from the things of the world. I'm thankful for standards of holiness. Hey, I'm thankful that my family doesn't go every place the world goes. I'm thankful that we don't do the things the world does. I'm thankful we don't talk like the world. We don't go the places they go. There's a line of separation because God has called us out of the world. That is what the church is. It's those who have been called out of the world. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Aren't you thankful for the protection that God gives us? Aren't you thankful for the walls of separation from the world that God says, I want to protect what I've given you in this well of blessing. I don't want the enemy just to be able to come in, but I want there to be a wall of protection around. It's a blessing not to have to worry about the effects of sin. It's a blessing not to worry about having a spouse that's going to go spend their paycheck on booze or on gambling. It's a blessing not to have to worry about the damaging effects of sin on our bodies. We're blessed because of the walls of separation that God has given us. I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about lung cancer and things from smoking and all these other things from vaping right now. I want to tell you what I'm thankful for. Because somewhere long ago, there were some elders that said, you know what? This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And there's some things we're not going to put in it. There's some things we're not going to do because we're going to protect this. Amen. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. If you're addicted to smoking, I want to tell you, you can overcome that through the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I believe it. I prayed with people before, and they just could not break the habit no matter what they tried and what they did. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I want you to make them sick at the very sight of a cigarette. And literally, the Lord has done it, that when they would see somebody smoking, it was like their stomach would turn and they couldn't even think about it. Come on, God can deliver you from the things of the world. What a blessing. I'm thankful for the walls of protection around this family of God. The church is a family. Come on, you're my brother and you're my sister. Come on, we're together in this. What a blessing it is, the protection. There's a closeness with the people of God. Come on, I identify with you better than anybody else in this city because we're of the same spirit. We're of the same mind. We're in one accord. Thank God for that. And we are so glad for what God is doing here. We don't want to take that for granted. It's not us, but it's the power of God working in us. And we're thankful for what the Lord is doing here. But it's with passion and a burden from God today that I wish to direct our focus. Not at all that God is doing here on the inside of the wall. Not just on the blessings that come from the well that He has given us. Oh, but let's look at today what's going on out there, beyond the wall, beyond the protection. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, are ready to harvest. You see, they had this saying that they would tell one another, well, there's 4 months. We've just planted, and so now we got 4 months until harvest. And Jesus said, no, I want to tell you, it's not 4 months, but look out there. It's already ready to harvest. There's a work that's ready to be done. Right now, you got to get to work. I want to tell you, it's not next year that the harvest is coming. It's not next summer. God is saying, I want you to look out. There's a harvest right now that's ready. There's a work to be done right now. Wake up and pay attention and lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And so we're thankful for the blessings of God and the power of God and miraculous work that He's doing on the inside of these walls of protection. But there's got to be a turning of our attention. There's got to be a turning in our hearts to what's on the outside of the walls of this building, to what our true calling is and our true reason is for existing. We can sum up the purpose of this church in one word. Yes, our mission statement, our purpose statement is love God, grow in faith, serve others, and go change the world. And that identifies with what we do. But there's one word that sums up everything that this church is about, everything we're here for, the reason for our existence. And that one word is others. Others. This building is here for others. If we ever get to the place that we look at people and we say, well, you don't match the description of what we want here, we've missed it. If we ever get to the place that we pay the electric bill and the water and the sewer and and all the things it takes to get this, keep this building going, and we say, this is just for our group. We've missed it. This church is for others. That's why we exist. Our services, our programs, our events, our ministries, they are for others. That's why we do what we do. That's where our focus is to be, for others. Every ministry, every department, every person involved here at Harvest, why do we do this? It's because of others. Why do we pay the mortgage on this building and we're trying to pay it off so that we can build another building? It's because of others. Why do we mow the lawn and weed eat? Because of others. Why do we resurface the parking lot and invest a lot of money to make it look good and take care of it? It's others. Why do we have people greeting people at the front door with a cheerful smile and a good spirit? It's because of others. Why do we have Sunday school and Wednesday classes? Others. Why do we have youth ministries and kids ministries? Others. Come on, if you're on the lawn team, I know it gets hot. I know it's not always fun. It's not really what you want to do on a Friday or a Saturday. But next time you're mowing, the next time you're weeding, I don't think about how hot it is. Don't think about how frustrated you are about being here on a Friday or Saturday. But think about why you're doing that. It's because of others. We want others to pull up and notice that we care about how the church looks. And we want them to be attracted about how nice things are. And we want others to take notice of that because we want to make a first impression, a great first impression, because we're about others. Thank God for everything He's doing around here. Thank God for this well of truth, this well of everlasting life, this well of blessing. Thank God for the protections from the things of the world. I thank God for holiness. I thank God for the apostolic doctrine. I thank God for truth. But lift up your eyes and realize it's not just about what's right here today. It's not just about I and I and I and me and me and me and my and my and my. It's about others. Too many people are focused on self. Well, I don't like this, and I think it should be done like that, and this is what I feel, and my family this, and I and me and my. And lift up your eyes. We're not here for selfishness. We're here for others. We're here for others. We're here for others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I really want to have a kazoo quartet. Brother Long, I just feel, you know, that's my favorite type of music, is having 16 kazoos all playing in their own key and their own beat. And if we don't do that, Brother Long, I just don't know if I can have church. I want to tell you something. Others don't care about your kazoo quartet. But thank God for music. And we do a mix of the new, and we do a mix of camp meeting songs. And because, hey, I want it, whatever song is doctrinally sound and points people to Jesus Christ and lifts Him up. We're going to do some old ones. We're going to do some new ones. But the point is, I want people to experience the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, I thank God for the atmosphere of worship that we had around here today. There's something about praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're lifting up His name and He inhabits that praise. What a blessing it is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. We're here for others. Let's look on the fields for a few minutes. First of all, consider the population of Springfield. Updated numbers now show the population of Springfield to be about 170,000. The metropolitan area of Springfield and Branson and the five counties of this region, Greene, Christian, Webster, Polk, Dallas, have a population of 550,000 people. That's over 500,000 people. And just a few churches to reach them. The fields are ready to harvest. But oh, Pastor didn't shake my hand. And somebody looked at me funny. And they sang a song I didn't like. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Get your attention off of I and me and my and look to others today. Springfield is the third largest city in Missouri after St. Louis and Kansas City. And we don't have the third most churches of cities in Missouri. We have a long way to go. Springfield is very important in Missouri and in this area of the Midwest. It's the crossroads of this whole area. As the birthplace of Route 66, Springfield is a vital connection point with our nation. Highways traveling east and west and north and south. Springfield is one of the most visited places in this part of the country. We have universities and colleges all over town. Students from all over Missouri. We've got some of them here today, and students from all over the world. This is a mission field right here on our home turf. I've covered before how Springfield was traditionally a divided city. In the Civil War, we were divided between loyalty to the North and the South. In addition to Wilson's Creek, there were two battles here. In the Second Battle of Springfield, fighting was urban and house to house, which was very rare in that war. After the war ended, the Springfield National Cemetery was created, where the dead of both the North and the South were buried, separated by a low stone wall. When the railroad was built through Springfield, it established a new city, North Springfield. And the two cities were at odds with each other, each trying to outdo each other in construction and in business. Finally, after 17 years, the two cities merged, but today there's still a spirit of division, with most people staying in their respective areas of the city. What can supersede this division? I want to tell you the power of the Holy Ghost and the Apostolic Church. Hallelujah. Just think, here today we've got people from all corners of this city. And I believe it's the will of God that every demographic and every nationality in Springfield and every type of family and every type of person be represented here at Harvest. That's what God has called us to do, to reach our city. Not one type of person, not one demographic, but the world. Come on, we've got a harvest. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for the harvest is ready. Hallelujah. There's some churches, they feel like their calling is to reach therefore and no more. Well, let's put up some walls. Let's build a castle. Brother Duff, let's build a castle like what you described, and let's build a moat around the church and throw a few crocodiles in there and lift up the drawbridge, and let's protect what's inside and not let anybody else in. Because we have to hold the fort till Jesus comes back, and this is all that's going to make it. That's their attitude. I'm thankful for a wall of protection, a wall of safety from the world. But I want to tell you, have you forgotten how bad off you were when somebody reached for you? Have you forgotten how low you were when somebody shared the gospel with you? Have you forgotten how bound your heart was and how you felt when you laid your head on the bed at night, knowing that there was no hope in your life, there was no peace, there was no answer? Have you forgotten how it felt when somebody reached over the wall and said, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about what God's done for me, and I want to reach to you in grace and in mercy and with a burden for others. Come on, somebody today, you've got to realize God's given us a well of blessing. God's given us a wall of protection, but somebody's got to reach over the wall to pull more people over, to pull them to safety, to pull them to healing, to pull them to the blessings of God. The well that God has given us, it's more than enough. It'll never run dry. It'll never be. I tell you, God can do more than what we can bring people here for Him to do it to. We The power of God is not short. His arm is not slack, but he is able to do whatever the need is. Churches die when they don't reach out to their communities, when they forget their purpose, when they stop welcoming people in, when they become an exclusive social club. That's not what we're called to do. Thank God for what he's doing here. Thank God for the protection from the world. But oh, what's in here has to get out there somehow. Romans 15 and 7 says, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We're to receive one another. We're to welcome one another just as Jesus Christ received us. Did you have everything perfect when Jesus found you? Did we have everything all figured out when the Lord reached to our lives? Were we the shining example of holiness when we came to the Lord? No, we still had problems. We were still failures. That's why we needed Jesus. And if he received us and welcomed us into his church, then we are called to welcome others into the church of Jesus Christ, because it's not my church and it's not your church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. None of us have ownership on this church. Hallelujah. Now, I love my church campaigns, and we do that kind of stuff around here because I want you to take pride. Hey, this is my church. If you see a piece of trash on the floor, don't just walk by it. Pick it up. Put it in the trash. You know, take care of things. I love my church, but spiritually, this is not my church. It's not your church. It's God's church. And who are we to say, well, no, you can't come into my church because you don't look like me. And help us, Lord. We're not to have the Pharisee police on duty around here, roaming around telling everybody what they're doing wrong. And their heart stinks so bad. Let's not wait until people get good before we let them get God. Hallelujah. Come on, I've seen it, you've seen it, churches that put so much pressure on people before they're even welcomed. They have to be perfect. Their family can't have any problems. They have to be able to recite the dress code from memory before they'll ever let them in the front door. And people think, well, I can never do that. I can never be perfect. And so I'll just keep on living like the world because there's no hope. That's not what the church is here for. We're to be a hospital for sinners. Hallelujah. We're to be a hospital for sinners. This is not a hotel for the saints to come and just enjoy one another. No, this is a hospital for sinners. Jesus said the reason why he preached to sinners, because they were the ones that needed help. Come on, I love preaching to you. I love preaching. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do. I study preaching. I read preaching. I listen to preaching. I live for preaching. But I don't want to just preach to people that have already heard it before. I want to preach to sinners. I want to preach to people that need this gospel. They need this truth. People shouldn't feel like they have to fix everything themselves and get everything about their life to be perfect before they qualify to come to church here. That's why we come to church. That's why we have services. That's why the praise team sings songs of hope and celebration. That's why we preach faith and healing and deliverance, because we're all in need of God's saving power in our lives. I'm going to share a story with you. Got a few pictures here. Picture one, Robert Schuller went to Los Angeles in 1955 and started the Garden Grove Community Church in a drive-in theater in 1955. Brother Pruitt, have you seen their building today, or the Crystal Cathedral? Robert Shuler would get on the roof of the concession stand, and he'd stand and preach. He said something like, if I say something you like, honk your horn and agree. He personally knocked on thousands of doors, picture two. He'd tell them, come and bring every car you've got. So it looks like we've got more people than we do. In the early 60s, they built the first Garden Grove Church, picture three. Had an interesting principle. If you still wanted to sit in your car, you still could. And he had a button on the pulpit that he'd push and it would open up the walls. And he'd step outside sometimes and he'd preach to the cars. And then he'd step back inside and preach to the people inside. What an interesting principle, reaching to outsiders. Picture four. Then came the day they built the $19.5 million Crystal Cathedral. Had one of the largest pipe organs in the world, 16,000 pipes. Picture five. Even with all the glass, that's a picture at night there, it had the illusion of being outside. And it still had a place to open up a small area. But there was a shift. Till now there was a clear division of who was on the inside and who was on the outside. And any time a church remains on the inside, cuts themselves off from the outside, that church, like the Crystal Cathedral, will soon be no more. And here's the end of that story. In 2011, the landmark Crystal Cathedral, in debt, and bankruptcy, and many other problems, was sold to the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange County. Isn't that something? A church that was built on the principle of reaching outside the walls of the church, but somewhere lost that vision and became inclusive, and it went the way of other churches who lost the vision of reaching outsiders. Joseph, sold into slavery as a child, but he rose to be prime minister in Egypt. At the end of his life, Jacob looks at Joseph and says, you're a fruitful vine that's beside a spring. And you're a vine that's scaling the wall. And somehow that vine is climbing out and bringing fruitfulness to where people that are on the other side of the wall can reach some hope and some blessings. And oh, today many people are wanting to build walls to keep people out. Wall, I tell you, walls of separation, they're not to keep people out. They're designed to protect us from the things of the world. But if we build a wall so high in our spirits and in our minds and in our hearts, and we don't reach past the wall, then the world can never be saved. We've got to be a vine that's beside a well. Oh, a spring of everlasting life. But what's inside, what's here on the inside, it's got to get out somehow. And that vine has to scale the wall. It's got to climb outside and bring a touch of fruitfulness to this world, to people who so desperately need it. Oh God, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. Thank God for the well. Thank God for the walls. But oh, is there somebody who would be a vine that would reach over the wall and give somebody a hand up and give somebody a little love and give somebody a little blessings and say, here, I'm going to connect you with what's inside. Come on, would you join us? Come on, would you let God work in your life? Can I share with you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, a well and a wall. Would you stand with me in closing today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've told you before of a dream where we pastored in Texas. There was a man, he was a backslider. He was a businessman in the community, and we did our best to reach him. So sad to see how far in one generation people can go. I don't know all of the history, but there was something that happened, some kind of bitterness, some kind of hurt, some kind of argument between two brothers in the church. Both of those families, instead of making it right, instead of humbling themselves and saying, you know what, it's not worth it, both of those men stayed home. They were both leaders in the church there. This is before I ever came as pastor. But it wasn't just them. It was their children and their grandchildren. And now maybe even great-grandchildren. And you look at those families today. I want to tell you, people that backslide, it's not like they just go a little bit into sin. It's like they find the deepest parts of sin. Addiction and the hurt and the turmoil they get themselves into. To where in one or two generations you'd look at them and never even imagine that they used to be on the pews of an apostolic church. And I had a dream of one of those men. I was there in my dream, I'm hanging over the edge of a cliff. And I'm reaching over and I'm looking. And it's fire. And I can't even see how deep it goes, but I just see the flames. And my arm is reaching over and I've got him by the hand. And I'm reaching for him. And here's what's so imprinted in my mind. I'm holding him by the hand. And his family, his wife, his kids, and his grandkids are clinging to him. Somebody's got to reach over the wall. Souls are going to hell. And we want to get caught up in I and me and my, and this one did me wrong, and this happened to me that wasn't fair. And people we could be reaching for are going to hell. As of yet, as far as I know, that man, their family's lost. I did my best to reach for them. Not everybody you reach for is going to make it. But there will be some. Can anybody remember when you were on the outside and somebody reached over to you and there was a vine of fruitfulness that said, hey, would you just take my hand? Oh, there was somebody, you didn't have any hope. You didn't have the answers. Your life was missing. Oh, you were miserable, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a little vine of hope reached over the wall and pulled you and your family up over that wall, and now you're here, and there's a well of water that's springing up into everlasting life. Come on. Why do we exist? For others. Why are we here? For others. It's not about me. It's not about my. It's not about what we want. It's about what Jesus wants. And it's about reaching for others. Would somebody receive this from my spirit today and from the Lord and realize you're here not for you. You're not here for just your family, but you're here for others. There's people that are depending upon you. There's people that have no other hope. But if there would be a vine of fruitfulness that would hold on to the well of blessings and would reach over the wall and say, hey, come on, this is for you too. Come on, join us. I believe that God will use you to reach others. Would you join me at this altar right now? Come on, I don't want to have to pull and tug at your hearts right now. I believe we all need to make it to this altar and say, God, here I am. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I receive that call. I receive that burden today. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. God, you know I'm not perfect. You know I don't have it all together. You know, Lord, I still make mistakes. And God, you know my shortcomings. But oh, God, if you'll work on me, if you'll help me today, there's somebody that I've got to reach for you. Help me to be a vine that reaches over the wall. Help me to be a vine of fruitfulness. Oh, God, move upon me today, Lord. Hallelujah. I know we repented before, but maybe somebody here needs to repent of selfishness right now. Maybe somebody here today needs to repent of pride. Come on. Somebody here today, you need to get your eyes off your own things, and you need to lift up your eyes. The white harvest, it's there. It's ready. Help us, Lord.